Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hold hands and close your eyes. It's 12:30, and you're listening to the Ghost Story Pass.
Welcome to the Ghost Story, guys. I'm Brennan Storr.
I'm Ian Gibbs.
And this is a show where we talk about spooks, specters, and all the other things watching us from the shadows beyond the campfire. Some conversations only make sense after the sun is set, and this is most definitely one. Thanks for tuning in. This is bonus episode number 5. And we're coming to you from that tiny mountain cabin you dream about but can never quite reach. How you doing, Ian?
I'm doing okay, Brennan. How are you doing?
I am good. I'm glad to be back from Revelstoke.
Yes.
That was a long trip. Well, yes. No, it was a short trip, but a long trip.
But a long trip.
It went quickly.
You were able to indoctrinate the children as effectively as possible for the mill?
Yes. Yes. Thankfully, my parole officer doesn't know that I was near kids.
That's a blessing.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think so, too. Yeah. I will say, I really had to tap dance around the subject of religion.
Really?
Because the thing is, I don't know how sensitive people are
right.
about talking about religion.
Right.
So I wasn't sure, you know, because people, like, obviously I'm up there talking about books. I'm going to tell ghost stories.
Yeah.
But one kid asked me about demons.
Right.
And I told him, I don't believe in Christian mythology. I don't believe in Christian ideology. But I said, that's me.
Right.
And but it was so, so careful to dance around that because I just thought the last thing I need is some parent coming at me with a baseball bat going, you done shook my child's faith in the Jeebus.
But that's why you go for the whole intentionality thing, right? Like, you know, I believe there's evil in the world and
right.
different people put different labels on it. And that way you get to skate over all of that sort of thing.
I tried to do that as much as possible,
yeah,
but there
yeah.
was some fancy footwork involved.
Well, I'm glad you made it through.
But yes, enough of that. We have a guest in studio.
We do.
I'm so excited
about
this.
One of my favorite people in the whole wide world.
Absolutely. We are here with author Barbara Smith, author of 36, soon to be 37 books.
Soon to be 37.
Probably Canada's most famous ghost author.
I would agree.
And she has bravely come into the cabin at the edge of sleep here to talk about her brand new book, Great Canadian Ghost Stories, which will be available on October 30th, I believe. No?
It's available now.
Oh, it's available now.
It's available now.
Well, there we go.
Well, it's everywhere. Yeah. It was already on the bestseller list.
Was it? I didn't know that.
Oh, come
good,
on.
Good, glad to hear.
Like we're not refreshing that hourly. Yeah, I know it was, absolutely.
Oh, that's great.
You heard her here. Welcome to the show, Barbara.
Thank you. Thank you both very much. Lovely to be in the little cabin. Great fun. Is it haunted?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's good. Either it's haunted or everywhere we set up shop seems to be.
Yeah, it's hard to go on. Yeah. Okay. I think at this point it's us.
It must be.
Well, you know, they say it's like, it's not you, it's me.
Yeah.
It's not the place, it's you. It's us.
Well, then I'm in my comfort zone. There
you
sure.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
One of the few who is.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've been writing ghost books now for how long?
What's... Oh, too long. 25 years. My first book came out in 1993, Ghost Stories of Alberta.
Yeah, right.
And the first print run was 1,200 copies.
Oh, wow.
Sold out in 3 weeks.
Holy smokes.
Oh, great. That must have been so exciting.
And it was. It was fantastic. What a way to start a career.
Mm-hmm.
And that little puppy is still in print. You can still get the original Ghost Stories of Alberta. The new one, Great Canadian Ghost Stories, I've been wanting to do that book for years because you go from east to west in this huge country of ours. And The ghosts are absolutely representative of the history and the geography.
Oh.
And I just found that fascinating.
Yeah.
So I was really pleased when Touchwood picked it up.
It's great. It's a great book, and I love that it is applicable for the entire country. I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we have coastlines, so we have lighthouses, and mm-hmm. there isn't a lighthouse in the world that isn't haunted.
I agree.
Sure. Phantom ships, yep. And then you go into the prairies, we have haunted houses, we have haunted museums.
Yeah.
They're just coast to coast, but they are a reflection of each place's history and geography, which I really enjoy.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm only about halfway through the book, but I just love the hell out of it.
Oh, thank
and that's
you.
Not just me kissing ass. I actually like it because I don't tell that to everybody.
No, he doesn't.
You don't kiss ass.
No, that's it. Not unless you ask me to.
No, stop. Not in front of a guest.
I know.
I have to tell you, your book, The Ghost Stories of Alberta, that book actually, 14-year-old me, kind of changed my life because I had spent most of my growing up years experiencing things that I was told weren't real or I was making up or were, you know, just because of the religious background we had. And when I read that book, I was so comforted by it. I know it's supposed to be scary, but I found it so comforting because what I realized was my experience wasn't that weird.
Yeah.
That this was, I mean, the stories are great, but they were very much in line with the kinds of things I had experienced.
And you're not the only person that had that reaction.
Yeah.
After that book came in, I was just flooded with letters to the point that I rented a mailbox because I didn't want everyone finding a path to my door.
Yeah,
that is why.
Some of them were definitely wingnuts.
Yes.
But
I'm shocked.
We have no experience with that whatsoever.
None.
There was the one that Jesus walked through the wall and told him that his foot would be healed the next day, and it was.
Wow.
Yeah, so I didn't want him knowing where I live.
No, because he might try and walk through your wall.
Yes.
He might tell Jesus where you are. Though.
That'd be worse.
I don't know, I think Jesus liked to party. Hung out with a bunch of dudes, liked wine. Yeah. This is my body.
Yeah,
my body.
Okay, dial it back. Remember that whole offending religious people thing?
Oh,
yeah, that was in school. I can say whatever I want. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm not surprised to hear that because I think it had a profound effect. And it really was, in a way, one of the first of its genre for Canada.
It wasn't. It wasn't, Ian. When I was really young, I remember finding a Sheila Hervey. It's H-E-R-V-E-Y, I think she spells her name. And I think it came out in the 70s.
Oh.
And it wasn't up to the par that we expect ghost story books to be now.
Right.
But I think that might have been the pioneer.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And I remember reading it. I was a young married mother and... I remember just sobbing with fright over these stories and loving them. Just loving them.
Yeah.
There's that feeling, that deliciously frightened feeling.
Yes.
And I was getting it, and I just wouldn't.
Can't read them even now. I can't read books like that at night.
Yeah.
On my own. And if I do, I have to have another book.
Yes.
That has nothing to do with ghosts.
To take the taste
out. Like a palate cleanser.
Yes. Yes.
And that's what keeps it going. But it's funny because do you find now, though, you read them and you're like, I can work it and do this.
Yes.
You don't get the same.
Your book gave me the heebie-jeebies,
you're so sweet.
Especially the inn on Lochside.
Yes.
Because I had stayed there, too.
And then you
felt.
And that
pool area.
Yeah.
And I'm a swimmer.
Yeah.
I love to swim.
Yeah.
And I just. Oh.
Yeah, no. That's interesting that you had that connection to it.
Yeah.
Because I find now, and I mean, maybe it's just the ghost walks or doing the ghost walks. I can be telling the story. People are free. I had one little girl, she was like 14, and she started crying.
Yeah.
And I said to her mother after the story, I'm like, is she okay? What's wrong with her?
Yeah.
And her mother looked at me like I was a moron. And she's like, she's scared.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? I mean, I didn't say that. But then I was like, right, these stories are scary.
Yes. Yes.
So I just wondered if you found yourself ever getting.
Yes.
Sort of jaded, but in a way.
Yeah, no, I'm not jaded.
If you can connect to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can also turn on my business head and my professional head and write the stories.
Right.
One of my worst experiences was writing the second book, I think, More Ghost Stories of Alberta, and I was writing about a suicide.
Oh.
And it was something bad.
Right.
And interestingly, I remember the date because I'm a date freak. It was May 19th, and I was in Edmonton, and it was hot as the dickens outside, but I was in a basement office.
Right.
I had a deadline of the 25th, so I was giving her. I was giving her as hard as I could. But I kept getting cold. So I kept putting on more and more and more clothes. By the time my younger daughter came home, she was dressed in a halter top and shorts and looking for a cold drink. I'm just freezing to death. And she walked into my office and she said, "Mom, it's freezing in here. Get out of here."
Oh, my God.
We went to a coffee shop for a couple of hours. And when we went back,
Wow.
I had definitely brought something in.
That's amazing. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, wasn't comfortable.
And I was going to say, one of the books about Alberta, you actually interviewed me for,
yes,
20 years ago.
Yes, I did. I used a pseudonym.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ian got in touch with me, and he said it was a great story to a church.
Yeah. Which is why I had to use a pseudonym, because I worked for the church.
Oh, right.
Yeah. I think I had a section called Holy Ghosts.
Yeah.
Like that. And it was great. And so when Ian got back in touch with me after his book was coming out, I recognized his name, even though I'd used the pseudonym.
And we hadn't spoken since then.
Yeah,
but
no.
It was, I knew. No. It's the same reason I talked to Brennan, was I thought, hey, you've got a book out about ghosts.
Yeah.
I know literally nothing about this world, so maybe you guys could give me advice. And I was very lucky to.
Solid friendships were made. Yeah.
And some very good advice. Yeah. I used yours recently at a bookstore, and I offered to sign the copies.
Oh, yes.
Because there were three on the shelf.
Yes.
And then they went, wait. And they went in the back and brought 15 more.
All
and
right. I was like,
okay.
You idiot.
Right. Yeah. You can never return these.
And that's the advice that now our listeners may not know this, that if you sign a copy of a book, the bookstore cannot return it to the publisher.
Right. No. It's a sold book.
Yep.
You know what's interesting to me? They never asked me to prove I'm the author. Oh, they've never said, show me some ID, but they don't even look.
Okay.
I could be anybody. I'm going to start doing that with some cookbooks, see what happens.
Yeah, I'm Stephen King.
Yeah. You mean Stephanie? Yeah.
Stephanie Meyer.
Don't judge me. Yeah.
I like vampires.
There was an airport store that asked me for ID when I wanted to sign my books.
And okay, so you did have one.
I did just turn the book around and say, see, that's me.
That's funny.
Because I thought Bin Laden was going to come in and ask to sign a bunch of books.
Well, I do have that look about me, I know.
Very, very, very shifty.
Yeah.
Yeah, we almost beat you up in the parking lot because you thought you were coming to mug us.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Yeah, being a great grandmother, you kind of give off that aura.
Yes, I do.
Menace and the subtle scent of gingerbread, I think.
That's right. That's how they get you. They lure you in with a gingerbread and then they beat you.
Don't you know Hansel and Gretel? Yeah.
I knew it.
But it's been a good career for 25 years.
Wow.
It's supported me, and I've really, really enjoyed it. I've been places and done things, met people like you guys that I wouldn't otherwise have met at all.
But there's good stuff, too.
Well,
And it's not all bad news.
You said that this is going to be your last ghost book.
I think it will be my last ghost book.
Yeah. And what is causing you to sort of hang up the old ghost hat?
Just enough.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm old. It's time. I'd like to see what retirement is like. I'd like to write my memoirs. I'd like to try some fiction.
Yeah.
I've written a bit of fiction with fireside stories and campfire stories. So,
nice. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, I just hand the mantle over to you two, next generation.
Oh,
This is like that whole shirt sleeves to shirt sleeves and three generations thing, you know? Here is my empire.
Terrific.
And I'm the ne'er-do-well son.
That's right.
Hitting my head against the wall, stinking to gin.
I'm investing in completely unsuitable Hollywood movies with all the money.
Yes.
Extravaganza 3.
You cannot save
it. I really can.
Cut.
That's right. Cut. There's just going to be a bunch of edits. Right?
Yeah. It's
come back. Penis. No.
It's just going to end up with just Barbara talking. That's going to be like she's talking to the air. A Barbara Smith monologue moment.
That's right.
Waited my whole life.
Yeah.
Finally. Then she starts doing it.
Yeah.
Boners.
I need a drink.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There was probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
So how long does it take for you? I mean, have you this sort of been working towards this 4 years, you know, collecting stories?
This and Great Canadian Ghost Stories definitely has been in the back of my head for years.
Right.
I've written most of Canada, and I have written one called Canadian Ghost Stories, and it's one of my least favorite books.
Really?
I just don't like it.
And why is that?
There's nothing personal about it.
Right.
And this one, I felt I was able to get more in depth and tie to the history, and it just has a different feel to it, and I'm really, really pleased with this one.
Yeah.
I've been pleased with my individual ones. Ghost Stories of Manitoba is one of my favorite books.
Really?
And Manitoba has been, the people of Manitoba have been so, so good to me.
Yeah.
Just some books I've felt more kinship.
Yeah,
with
more personality to them kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I had a blast doing it. I've got Ghost Stories of Hollywood, and I had a great time doing that. So they asked me to do Ghost Stories of California, and again, there just seemed to be a distance between me and the material.
Interesting.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, I couldn't connect with any of it.
And so you said you got a little more into the history with Great Canadian?
I did, because I thought it was appropriate. The oldest European, I have stuck to the post-European contact stories.
Right.
And the oldest one I could get was a ghost of Henry Hudson from the 1600s.
Holy
and
cats.
This was published in the Winnipeg Free Press, an article that had been written 250 years earlier was found, and it was a recounting of seeing the ghost of Henry Hudson.
That's amazing.
I thought that was a cool
That is amazing. Yeah.
I love social history. So
yeah, so
just,
do I.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was a big part of my book and Brennan's book.
Yes.
It's the history wrapped up with the ghost story, and I think most people can attach themselves to that in a deeper way.
Yeah, you have more context then.
You do.
Yeah,
for sure.
With Brennan's especially being one place, like that's heavy.
Yeah. Very sort of deep connection there.
Yes.
So in terms of researching this, did you spend a lot of time combing through old newspapers and things like this?
Oh, yes. Okay, interesting. Yes. A friend of mine actually has a microfilm reader, and I'm envious.
Yeah.
What kind of a nerd says that?
Yeah.
But all the newspapers are available online now, so that helps a lot.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Plus, having written so many ghost story
books.
You
know what to look for.
People send you leads.
Right.
All you have to do is go out and follow them up and document them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So it's sort of half author, half reporter.
Yes. Yeah, it is a bit.
And
it
some historian thrown in for good
measure. Yeah. And even a geographer every now and then. Yeah, I had a good time doing it. It was, I guess, about a year until it was produced. So that's pretty good.
That is good. Yeah. That's a great turnaround.
One of my records is Ghost Stories of the Sea, which is also still selling well, and I really like that book. 6 weeks from beginning to end.
Oh, wow.
I didn't do anything else. My kids were grown by that time, and all I did was work like 40 hours a day writing.
Wow.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to write yours again?
Like 3 months.
Yeah.
So you beat me.
But you were quick.
Well, the stories were already there. It really wasn't a lot of.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to write out my own stories that I experienced.
Yes.
But pretty much all the stories I used, I think, except for one, we were already telling on the ghost tour.
Okay.
So it was a matter of getting them down, putting them together, putting my own spin on them, my own impressions of them. So it didn't take very long, but I could have done more research. I found out afterwards from Brennan.
No. You mean you could have done some research? Any research?
I did do some research. How dare you?
You're telling ghost stories, for goodness sakes.
Exactly. Yeah. They're supposed to be fun and entertaining.
Yes.
They can still, we just discussed, they can have historical context and still be entertaining.
Historical lazy context, bastard. But they don't have to be obsessively correct. Because then you kill the essence of a good story.
So I thought maybe we'd just talk about one or two of the stories from the book. Because there was, as I said, I'm about halfway through it. And I'm at the point now where most of this stuff doesn't really affect me. I'm into it, but I don't, you know. But there was actually a couple stories that gave me chills.
Oh, good.
And I was reading it in, you know, McDonald's at midnight.
Oh, that should give you chills.
Oh, that's just the hypertension. That's fine. So the one that, the first one that really caught me was The Haunted Light in from the Northumberland Strait.
The Haunted Light.
The Lighthouse. Spot. Yeah, and that one was, it's such a classic ghost story, but it's so effective.
Well, I don't think there is a lighthouse in the world that doesn't have a ghost, quite frankly.
I'd agree with that, yeah.
But the West Point Lighthouse in Northumberland Strait in the Canadian Maritimes is now a restaurant and a bed and breakfast.
Oh, really?
Cool. And so it's still operating as a light, and the light still functions, but at the end of the day, at the end of the night, when the restaurant closes, the staff leaves. And, of course, close all the, turn down all the lights, turn them off, and off they go. And they get back out to their cars, look back at the lighthouse, and the lights are on.
Right.
So they go back in and turn the light off again, and go back out to their car, turn their car around, look at the light, and the lights are on again.
Oh, man.
And the one woman, she said, yeah, that's enough. If he wants the lights on, we'll leave his lights on. Yeah. But that lighthouse is a couple hundred years old, and while it was manned, there were only two lighthouse keepers through the whole life of it.
Oh, gosh.
So these men were obviously extremely dedicated to the light, and no wonder.
Yeah.
They're just, their spirits have stayed behind.
Wow.
Yeah, I like that story.
I stayed in a haunted lighthouse off the coast of Oregon.
Did you?
Really?
Yeah, it's the old lighthouse is now bed and breakfast, and then the light is just a little pathway down, and all kinds of stories about it being haunted.
Was that Hecta?
I think it might have been.
Yeah.
It was really neat. It was beautiful.
Did you have much in the way of any kind of vibe there?
Yeah, I definitely felt a vibe, but nothing, you know, door slamming or specters appearing, which, quite frankly, I'm grateful for.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, but it was a definite, you felt that you were in someone else's home.
Oh, okay.
And that there was somebody else still there.
Yep.
And I read a book about lighthouses, Lights of the Western Coastline, Canadian coastline. And, oh, my God, the tragedy these guys went through.
Yes.
And their families and what they sacrificed.
Yes.
And how poorly they were treated.
No wonder.
Most of the time, they either ended up insane from the isolation.
Oh, of course.
Or with unbelievable destructive arthritis from the mercury that had to be filtered every week.
Of course.
Because that's what the light sat on, was a big vat of mercury.
I had no idea.
Yes.
So they either went crazy.
Yeah.
Or their joints were just destroyed.
Yeah. Oh, man.
In one case, a man had been down with it for at least 7 or 8 years.
Right.
And his wife had run the light.
Oh,
that's all she'd done was run the light. And he stayed in bed. He died. And she said to the lighthouse people, hey, look, I've been doing this for 8 years. Can I keep doing it? And they're like, no women lighthouse keepers. Oh. You're out.
What?
And they kicked her out.
Jesus.
She had no home, no money, no nothing.
Because there's a bunch of people beating down the door to be a lighthouse keeper.
Yeah, not.
Well, this is the irony. There was. Because in Ottawa, of course, where it was all taken care of, it was seen as quite a plum appointment.
Oh.
You sat around doing nothing, and they paid you.
Yeah.
Which was not what it was at all. No. It was this 24 hours a day, constant struggle.
Yeah.
They couldn't grow any food. They didn't get paid enough.
Oh.
They had to, if they wanted an assistant to help them, they had to pay for it out of their wages.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And there was never enough food or anything. Yeah. It was an awful, awful life.
Yeah.
But in Ottawa, they thought, oh, this is a great, great
gig.
Yeah,
of course.
It wasn't. So it was a great book to see the different kind of levels and the insight you get into the history of these lighthouses.
Awesome.
And I agree with you.
Yeah.
It is not a shock that these places are haunted.
No.
Because these people had to pour their lives into it.
Those keepers were, yes, absolutely. Their heart and soul. Yeah.
So you mentioned something about drowned towns.
I did.
So
I did.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Many, many years ago in the 50s, the St. Lawrence River was going to be converted to become the St. Lawrence Seaway.
Right.
But there were a bunch of little towns on the shore of the St. Lawrence River that would be flooded when the Seaway, when the dams were open and the Seaway became. And so they moved these people from these little towns, and they got to move their house if they wanted to, or build a new one if they wanted to. But in the end, there were some buildings just left standing.
Right. Like
the old bank building, who cares, just leave it there. So there were, I don't know, 15, 20 buildings that ended up being flooded when the Seaway became the Seaway. So this area by now is a scuba diver's paradise.
Of course, yeah.
Because there are all these old buildings to explore, submerged old buildings, and people have seen lights on in those buildings.
Wow.
They've seen shadowy figures in these buildings. And I think there are scuba divers who've never strapped on the tanks again after going down there.
Really?
Yeah. Man, that's...
That would be disturbing.
Yeah, especially underwater.
Underwater,
You're already isolated and completely out of your element.
Yeah.
And it's dark.
And it's dark.
No matter what's going on outside, it's dark.
Yeah, and then you see that.
Yeah.
Oh, light. Jesus.
Yeah. I love it.
It's that's a bit nightmare. Like the story of the Frank Slide. I mean, submerged in a different way.
Yes.
Oh, of course.
But there are still stories about hearing the church bell ringing and hearing the sounds of children and all
absolutely.
That sort of thing. Yeah.
And I know in my own book, A Strange Little Place, available everywhere fine books are sold.
Oh, my God.
I've got a story from one of the drowned towns south of Revelstoke.
Right.
Because there was Beaton, Burton, Sidmouth, all those towns when they dammed up the Columbia in the
60s. Yeah.
And there was a group of campers who heard music.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Their dogs went nuts and seemed to be barking at something in the trees.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a moment or two later, they heard what sounded like piano coming from somewhere.
Lord.
And they were off in the sticks. And then it was gone, and the dogs went back to normal. But, all down
the
there.
The late 50s, early 60s, it was just a weird time. It's just post-war, things were really rolling.
Right.
But there was this sense that human beings could overtake everything. And think of the phrase, drowned towns.
Yeah.
What a dreadful thing to do.
Yeah.
Of course.
You know,
absolutely.
That's violent.
It's almost like nature pushed back.
Yeah.
I sometimes wonder if sort of the uptick we've seen in this kind of stuff, in paranormal stuff, is a result of that. Nature pushing back.
Yeah.
Right. You know, if we're sort of seeing a kind of... like a response.
Yeah, no,
you know,
that makes sense.
Interesting.
I mean, before the show, we talked a little bit about Revelstoke being, on my trip, being really dark.
Yeah.
And I wondered if that's something to do with it, if nature is just pushing in further.
Had
enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, funny enough, I was talking to Stephen Rachel about this, and they said the same thing.
Really?
So it's on people's minds.
Yeah.
You know.
I could see that.
Not
well, we're also
thought.
Interconnected, whether we want to be or not.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a mistake we make. We think we're above the natural order.
Yeah, no.
We are most certainly not.
No, we're part.
That's a horrifying thought. I was just flicking through your book here, and I see you mentioned Tronkiel and Kamloops.
Yes.
Now, that is a fascinating place.
Yes, it certainly is. That Tronkiel is right in there with the old hospitals from Saskatchewan, the Weyburn and Fort Sam.
Right.
Same sort of thing. Former hospitals just alive with energy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
They are doing, we talked about this on episode 18, actually, the city by the lake.
I can't believe you remember the number of what episode.
Number freak.
It's almost like I'm the one who has to organize all this crap.
Or you're a little bit autistic. Either way.
There's
good.
That too. That's
either
too.
Way.
I think
good.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But they're doing tours to Tronkiel now.
Oh, they're doing it.
Oh, my
again.
Goodness.
Yeah. And I think they're actually year round now.
Really?
And they've refined them a bit more.
Oh, I'd love to see that.
So I went last year. And it's just fascinating because I feel like the strongest thing in Tronkiel is the land wants you to go.
Okay.
Because a new investor has bought the property several years ago, and they've poured millions of dollars into trying to revitalize the area.
Nothing.
And now they're looking for outside investment. Because they just can't kind of make it fly on their own.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think the land wants to be left alone. That's what it feels like to me. It feels
sad. You
can
understand that, yeah.
Sure, yeah. It just feels sad and done.
Well, and the most haunted places in my experience have been schools, hospitals, hotels, and theaters.
Right.
And it's where there's a lot of energy, a lot of transition, a lot where there's a lot of public movement. But like, especially theaters, hospitals...
Theaters. I've got a whole book on theaters.
Yeah.
If you think about what a theater is, the audience is going in there to suspend their disbelief and watch other people pretend to be something else.
Yeah. And the energy in that.
Yes.
The amount of energy you give as a performer. Yeah. And then the energy you're giving back as an audience member.
Right.
The applause, the paying attention, the all of these sorts of things.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I know here in Victoria, the McPherson of the Royal are deeply haunted.
Yes.
And it's really not a shock.
Yeah, no.
Know, but given how that is. And the whole thing about ghost lights.
Yes.
You know, it's part of the tradition in theaters. And I mean, that's fascinating to me.
Love the ghost light. Yeah, yeah.
But the hospitals here in town, we have the Jubilee.
Yes.
And I've heard from, I'd say at least four or five different people. Some are guards, some are nurses, some are doctors. The Jubilee, the old part of the Jubilee, nobody wants to go in there.
Oh,
because there's a lot of stuff going on in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I was in there one night. Oddly enough, for a sleep study.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't sleep one wink. At 7 o'clock in the morning, I went downstairs to Timmy's, got myself a large coffee, and
got
left.
The heck out. Yeah. I know. It's a very disturbing place.
There's St. Michael's in Lethbridge, and it was very haunted by a nun, a former nun.
Okay, yeah.
And she used to sit with the patients through the night.
Right.
And people would ask for her. Is the lovely nun going to sit with me again tonight?
That's amazing.
Yeah, and then they tore that hospital down, but I heard from one of the nurses, she's still there.
Really?
She went with them, yeah.
Wow, yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah.
It's a bit like those, I just read a story about a cat in an old people's home. They brought in four cats.
Oh, neat.
And these four cats are supposed to be there to be all cuddly and lovey with the residents,
right.
And three of them are.
Yeah.
But the fourth one has never
not
been
so
a cuddle cat.
Right.
But the night someone's going to go, he goes in.
Oh, goosebumps.
He lies on their bed.
Yep.
And he waits.
Oh,
and
wow.
And he has
goosebumps.
Never been wrong. They interviewed the director of the home, and he said, we've had 34 instances of this cat identifying, and he's never been wrong.
Oh, my gosh.
So maybe he's there for a different reason.
Now, you asked me if the ghost stories still get to me. Yeah, that did.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of an amazing story, actually.
Somehow the bed, too. I've had people tell me that they felt something sitting on the bed.
Yeah.
And when they looked up, there was an impression on the bed. That
of
somebody,
a person?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that happened in our old place. I think I've talked about that before.
Yeah, that's right.
Nikki came out and said, you know, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It was about midnight. I was doing some writing. And I said, well, I've been out here the whole time. Why? And she said, well, you came in, sat on the bed, then you got up again.
Oh, my gosh. No, you didn't.
And you're like,
nope.
I've been here the whole time. And then did she remain with you? Or did she just go back to bed?
She's a hell of a lot tougher than I am. She just went right back to sleep.
Wow.
But, I mean, she saw something once. And, I'm sure I've mentioned this on the show, but she once saw something when I was away. She was in the bathroom late at night, got up to use the bathroom, and she saw a shadow cross underneath the door. And she opened the door was locked. We're on the third floor.
Yeah.
She was the only person there.
Wow.
But that building was, it had something that came through. And the one next to it was a lot worse. The one next to it, the president.
That's some consolation.
Yeah.
The one next door is worse.
This one's haunted, next door is way worse.
So earlier you mentioned haunted hotels. Do you have an example? Something maybe like a sort of a famous Canadian hotel that people know to be haunted?
I have a classic, Brennan. The Banff Springs Hotel.
Oh, of course.
Personally, this is so intriguing because when I was first collecting Alberta ghost stories, the Banff Springs Hotel was owned by the Fairmont chain, and they have a blanket policy that their hotels are not haunted.
That's right,
of course.
They do.
Yep, never heard of such a thing. Well, when I started re-researching some of the stories for this book, I phoned them, and the promo department was delighted to hear from me.
Wow.
They were having their ghost walk, and they now thoroughly enjoy the fact that they're hosted.
Wow.
Well, it's a lot easier when you are actually haunted to admit that you're haunted.
Sure, yeah.
If people are seeing ghosts.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some classics from that place. There's a little girl in a hallway who bounces a red ball and is dressed in a white pinafore, and she goes down the hallway and disappears in through the wall.
Interesting.
And that's the last you see of her. The Dancing Bride is probably the most famous ghost story in Canada, and that takes place in the Rob Roy room in the Banff Springs Hotel, which I must say is the most extraordinarily luxurious hotel in the entire world. It's just gorgeous, and so what a beautiful place for a setting for a wedding.
Yeah.
And it was back in the early days, early 1900s, I gather, and the staircase, the rounded staircase from the second floor down to where the marriage was going to take place, they lit it with little tea lights, candles,
yeah. Yeah.
with each step. And as the bride came down the stairs, she only got a few stairs down, and her veil, her train rather, sorry, got upset one of the candles. Her train started on fire.
Oh,
she
my God.
Panicked, understandably, yeah. and fell to her death.
Oh, Jesus.
Terrible, wow. terrible story. But her image is seen at the bottom of the staircase, and it's a white vaporous image, and she seems to be dancing. So people, to console themselves, I think,
yeah.
have said that she's dancing the wedding waltz that was taken from her by death.
Wow.
Yikes.
And the other really active ghost at the Banff Springs Hotel is Sam McCauley. He was a Scotsman who came to Canada in the 50s, went right to work at the Banff Springs Hotel as a bellhop. And he worked there for his entire career, and he always said, when he died, he was going to come back and haunt the place. And he's kept his promise.
Really?
He's seen in his very distinctive Scottish uniform, and he speaks with a brogue. And in the 1970s, he actually helped a family into their suite when they checked in late at night.
That's amazing.
The family was exhausted. Getting to Banff had been a real trial, so they just flopped into bed, and the next morning the man realized, I didn't even tip the bellhop. I'd better go down to the front desk. He was so nice, and it was so late at night. And so he asked the front desk clerk who the bellhop was, the elderly man with the Scottish brogue. And the clerk said, we don't have any bellhops here over the age of 30.
Right.
And the guy said, yeah, you do, because he helped me last night. And the clerk said, well, what was this guy? What did he look like? And the customer described Sam McCauley to a T.
Wow.
So there's interconnectedness.
That's very
between,
cool.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
kidding.
Yeah. Wow. It's also rumored that he hid a lot of his tips somewhere in the Banff Springs Hotel and then he's come back to keep an eye over them. But I have seen elevators there that go down and up and doors open and no one's anywhere near
right.
them.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Interesting.
It's pardon me, I can't remember if it's the Banff Springs or somewhere in Lake Louise, but I spoke to people who worked there, mm-hmm. and they said that the elevator will stop while you're in it.
Oh.
And in order to get it to go again, yeah. you have to say, come on, I can't remember the name of the thing, I want to say Andrew, but I don't think that's right.
Oh, my goodness.
But you have
goodness.
To say, come on, stop
yeah.
laying around,
yeah.
and then
yeah.
it'll start again. But if yeah. you if you stand there and you don't say anything, you will
You'll
stay
just
there.
Be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well, there you are again, the electrics,
yeah.
electronics, yeah. the source of energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there's a connection.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I believe that.
Yeah.
100%. Moving water and
yes.
electronics.
Again, moving water.
Yeah. yeah. They seem to be a real source of power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, the Banff Springs Hotel, is that a former CPR hotel?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ah, see, and that's so
like
it's
the Empress and
yeah.
Chateau
yeah,
Frontenac.
Yeah, yeah. So along the railroad, and that also seems to be
yes.
an
yes.
indication that there is a greater chance for something going on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. 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 Well, and Canada has lots of phantom trains, too.
Oh, do we?
Yeah, yeah. The Saskatchewan, the St. Louis train, it's been seen for decades.
Really?
And you can just see the light off in the distance, and
yeah.
it approaches, and as it approaches, it dims. People have tried every kind of scientific experiment to try and exclude everything they can, and I've spoken to people who have seen the light,
right.
and they say it's undeniably a train light, the oscillating
Interesting.
Train light. Yeah.
Huh.
So now you've done your last ghost book.
Yes.
Are you done writing books completely?
I'm not.
Oh, good.
I'm not.
Oh,
no,
good.
I'm not. I'm selfishly working on a memoir right now.
Fantastic.
Which I
That's
think
wonderful.
Will be fun.
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. It's been a bit of a bizarre life, so yeah, yeah I think it's worth recording. Whether it ever sees the light of day, my family will have it anyway.
Yeah.
And there are a couple of books of short stories that I'd like to write.
Nice.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. So I'm just. It's good to be away from the deadlines. Sure. Most of my deadlines were self-imposed, but they were there.
Yeah.
Of course. And yeah.
So is that your idea of retirement? Just no deadlines?
Yes. Yes. That's exactly it.
I love it.
Yeah. So see, I don't even have to guarantee I won't write another ghost story book.
No, you don't because you deadlines. Just might.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Yeah.
I've always worked to really tight deadlines, and it's nice to be out from under that pressure.
Good.
Oh, I bet.
That's great.
So now you've got a couple events coming up.
I do. Yes. The launch for Great Canadian Ghost Stories is happening on Tuesday, October 23rd at Bolin Books in Hillside Mall in Victoria. If anyone can make it, that would be terrific.
I'm doing the introduction.
Yay. Yep. And CBC Radio. I have the face for radio and I'm going to do her.
That's why you're on a podcast with us.
There you go. Yeah. So I'll be on noon on CBC Radio in Victoria. And I'm doing a taped interview, and I guess they'll play that on the 31st also.
Excellent.
So happy Halloween, everyone.
Yeah.
And you have a signing at Kohl's out in Langford as well, I believe.
I do, yes. A week, Saturday the 27th.
Okay.
Kohl's Langford.
Is that 12 to 2?
12 to 2.
Well, thank you so much for being here with us, Barbara. Yeah. This has been a ton of fun.
Thank you to both of you. It's been great.
We have a musical guest we're going to go out on this episode.
Okay.
This is the second track we're debuting this month from The Abyss.
Oh, yes.
Their upcoming album, Centurion, will be out on October 30th. You'll be able to find that at radioabyss.bandcamp.com. The song is Hearts on Fire. It's my favorite track from that album, and that'll be coming up next. You can find Barbara's book, Great Canadian Ghost Stories, on Amazon, Chapters, pretty much everywhere fine books are sold.
Yeah, literally.
Especially around Victoria. If you're in Victoria, you will find them everywhere.
Yeah.
But if you're out of the country, you're elsewhere, you'll be able to get it on Amazon, no problem. Make sure to get those signing events if you want to have them signed.
Absolutely.
I'm going to have mine signed.
Absolutely.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thanks, all right. Barbara.
We'll be back next week with our Halloween episode. And until then.
I had to do that. It's
of course you did.
Kind of a thing.
Until then, into the darkness we go.
Charlie.
I know.
That's right.
Yeah. Little
but
baby.
We buy 35.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Take this, my heart.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see you deal with this, liver. You bastard.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
How's that? Is that
okay.
Better?
That's way better.
A,
yeah,
B, C,
perfect.
D.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good.
Perfect.
Okay.
And again, it's not live. So
right.
You want to take a break?
Right.
Whatever.
Okay.
And we say horrific things
okay.
That never makes a show. We do have an outtakes section.
Oh, fun.
So, yeah. There could be that on there. Yeah.
You're going to need the break because of the stool.
Oh, it's all right. I stand and walk around for 5 hours.
Yeah, but you don't bend your neck like this.
Oh, I'm not.
Well, I mean, most of the time.
I... Wow.
Didn't hit you. Have a drink.
That's right.
Not for less than $50.
It's a chaser.
Oh, you're right. Spew water all over the stadium.
Yeah.
Okay, I care deeply.
Yes.
But
yes.
He does care deeply.
Yes. Yeah, but that's fine. There's only so much we can do.
You care far more than you're willing to admit.
Yeah, exactly. Shut up, your mouth.
Okay.
It's
okay.
All a defense.
Yeah.
Exactly. I'm deep inside. I'm soft and vulnerable. And I just want a hug. But no one will love me.
Nope.
Poor baby.
That's not the response I was hoping for.
Yeah,
but,
sorry.
Not with that laugh. See?
Oh, yes, oh, I thought you meant would. You changed your name.
No, no. Yeah, my real
life. You changed it to Store?
It was Fuckmaster before, yeah. But, you know. To my dear friend.
Yeah,
yes.
No.
Testing, 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 testing. This fucking thing. I hate this board.
All right. Let's get down to it.
Yes, sir.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.